Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
But we've got a great lesson today. I already got just a little bit of a preview from Pastor Brian. So come on up, Pastor Brian. He's got a good lesson for us today, and we can't wait to hear it. We can't wait until he's done. No. There you go.
Well, don't blink. Because you know how I am. I can usually beat Cindy's short sermons. So, speaking of pies, you guys that have known my dad, he told the story of a pie. My dad, if you didn't know him, he was a big guy. He loved sweets. He loved sweets a lot. Chocolate pies were his probably all-time favorite. Well, he was an evangelist. Most of you have heard this. He's an evangelist. And so one night this lady made him a chocolate pie, and she said, "Oh, Brother Thomas, I got you this pie." And he said, "It looks so good." And he took it home. He said he took a big bite of it. Well, she had forgot to put the sweetener in it. He said it was bitter as everything. So he took that pie like a Frisbee and just chunked it in the trash. So the next night, revival, she come walking up to him and said, "Oh, Brother Thomas, how did you enjoy that pie?" He said, "Sweetheart, it hit the spot." He didn't tell her it was a spot he threw it at. So, but he hit the spot, and I remember that one. You guys that have known him for a long time know that thing. Well, as you know, last week, I spent some time down in South Texas as part of a task force that went down there to help bring people back home. What they said was going to be our primary job was, they had these big motor coaches, and they would send them up to San Antonio. Some went to Dallas and Fort Worth. They pick up all these people that needed to go back home. Well, they wanted a paramedic on the bus with them. And I don't know why, because they told us if something happens, pull over and call 911, because all you can do is, yeah, you need 911. So they gave us a little first aid kit to make us feel good and make them feel good, too. I don't know if you remember years ago, there was another evacuation where a bus burned up, killed a bunch of folk. Well, that kind of drove the idea, okay, we're going to put a firefighter paramedic on this bus. That way, if something goes wrong, hopefully somebody can help get these people off the bus. So that was what we went down there to do. And we did absolutely none of that. It's a typical TIFMAS deployment. You know, Texas sends you down there to do this thing. And then you get down there, and before we got there, they told us it was total chaos. You know, some were stuck in Texas City, some were stuck in Galveston, and eventually everybody made their way to Beaumont. So everybody's in Beaumont, but all the evacuees are up, and most of them are in San Antonio. So just as we got there, the bright idea was, hey, why are we all here? Why don't we send some folk up there and let them catch the bus up there? So half of our group, and I wanted to go so bad because those guys, they got to sleep in hotels. And me and John and the group we were with, we were in a auditorium, well, like a exhibition hall with cots and about 100 other people. We were on one side, and then we had some Army people on the other side. So there was lights on all the time, people coming in and out, and on a cot. Well, these first cots we got to, they were 5 foot long, and I'm 6 foot tall. So fortunately, I had a pillow on one end, but my feet were touching the metal bar at the end, you know, so it was uncomfortable. But some other people left, and we stole their cots. So I was able to get a cot that was 6.5 foot tall so I could sleep. And then the last night we were there, I get a call from the battalion chief, and he says, "Hey, if you guys want to sleep in a hotel, you can." Well, thanks. We're going home tomorrow. And all the hotels were full anyway, so we couldn't have gotten there. But I didn't feel right volunteering to go into San Antonio when there had already been people there already a week, and they deserved it more than I did. But I sure wanted to go. And I talked to those guys, or say John talked to those guys, and they did much of nothing as well. So the pictures they would put on the Facebook of themselves, they were down on the Riverwalk. They were just being like tourists for a vacation paid by the state of Texas to be in San Antonio. I thought, man, I'm stuck down here in Beaumont, Texas on a cot. I didn't enjoy it. But it was good, and I learned some stuff, and that kind of some of the experiences that I got, I'll talk more about later, but that kind of drove me to talk about what I want to talk about today, and I titled it, because I couldn't come up with nothing else, was heart issues. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's pretty important. We should guard our heart. We should keep things in place. There are sometimes we know we can expose to stuff, but it's when we allow those things that come that way, we start dwelling on them, and we let our guard down and allow those things to saturate into our heart. But we need to guard our heart. Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You guys know all about this stuff. You've heard it many times. There was a lady by the name of Diane Ebel. In her article, Every Issue is a Heart Issue, she said this, in the heart are stored up all the images and beliefs we have encountered and adopted. For these images and beliefs literally reverberate through the cells of our bodies, influencing how we feel, how we act, our relationships with others, our success, and even our physical health. That makes sense, because a lot of times what we have in our heart can affect how we feel physically. We know that these things will influence our relationships with others, how we feel, how we act, the success we have in our life, and even our physical bodies. That is why we must guard our heart. That's why, because these things in here will show themselves. Because what if we have good inside of us, what's going to come out of us? Good, right? And if we have bad stuff stored up inside of us, that bad is going to find its way. It's kind of like a thorn. You ever had a thorn stuck in your hand or arm or whatever? If you just leave it alone, eventually it's going to kind of fester up, and eventually the body is going to want to push it out. And that's what happens. You get something in your heart, it's going to lay there and fester, especially if it's bad, and eventually it's going to come out of that body. And that's why we need to guard our hearts. So what are some of the evil things that we can store up in ourselves? This is an open mic or open question. What are some things that might be considered bad or evil that we can store up? Becky? Resentment, okay. Envy, okay. Offenses, yep. Anger is a good one, yep. Self-pity or selfishness, yep. Unforgiveness, okay. If that stuff's inside of us, eventually it's going to find its way out. What about bitterness and jealousy? Why is it they have more than I got? Matt? Racism, yep. That kind of stuff comes out. Pride. We could name a whole bunch of stuff that's not good stuff that really is considered evil to come out of us. I'm going to paraphrase, because this the Galatians chapter 5:19-21 includes a whole lot of stuff. But I'm going to consolidate it down to what we're talking about today. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And these are, again, this is not all inclusive. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and envy. And he goes on and says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. That wasn't a Brian Thomas comment right there. That's straight from the Word, right? And if you believe it, you got to take in this along with all the other stuff that goes along with that whole scripture. And there's some really bad stuff that goes along there. But what we're talking about today, these things fit what we're talking about. So you have to think, okay, well, if this is the kind of stuff I'm harboring inside of me, I've got issues. I got heart issues. The acts of the flesh are obvious. As it even says, it's obvious. We see these things. Because if you're mad, how are you going to speak? You're going to speak in anger, right? And you're going to act in anger. If you're selfish, it's all about me, right? If you envy, you're going to envy people, and it's just going to come out. Yeah, at work, you know, these guys, they live in bigger houses than I do. They got boats. They got nice cars. And I got to thinking, you know, why is it I'm making more than these guys are, but why is it that they have more than me? And I thought, well, I'm not unhappy with what I have, so that's not a problem. Well, I thought, okay, well, I pay my tithes. I'm not tooting my horn, but this is a Christian thing to do, right? I pay my tithes, and they don't. One thing that my father taught us when Ginger and I were small, and Cindy's father as well, never cheat God, you know? So all of our lives, we've paid tithes. When we had little, we paid little. When we've had a lot, we've paid a lot. And never one time in all this time when we were dirt poor did we ever go without. Now we're living a life, we got a little bit of luxuries, you know. We're comfortable, but we never stop giving credit to the Lord. Because I know that every success that I've ever had, it's not a Brian Thomas thing. It's the Lord has done it for me. So I don't envy those guys at all. You know, because I know I've got more help than they'll ever have. And that one day I'm going to have more than they will unless they get right with God. Does that make sense? I'm sure we could all talk about people or know people that talk in the flesh. One thing, we had a gentleman that used to go to church here. Hey, man, how are you this morning? Every Sunday, how are you doing? Oh, man, my legs hurt me. I've had a hard week and my legs hurt me. Next week, hey, man, how you doing? Oh, man, I had to work all this overtime. That's like it's just killing me. I'm having to do all this stuff. Not one time, and Cindy and I would laugh about it going home. Not one time did we ever ask this guy, hey, how you doing? That it wasn't a negative answer. And we've all lived long enough to know that we all have troubles in our lives, right? That we can all stand up here and just run down a lot of stuff and talk about, oh, the woe is me's. But what good does that do? And I found myself not even wanting to go and talk to this fella because all I'm going to hear is, woe is me. So why not just say, hey, good morning, and keep going, and don't even ask him how he's doing. Don't even give him a chance to tell you how bad his things is. If we identify or profess to be Christians and we live in like this, what kind of Christian example are we setting? What are we showing the people about Jesus? I think if the Apostle Paul would say it, I think Paul would say, you might want to check yourself. If you call yourself a Christian and this is the kind of stuff that you're doing, you might want to check yourself because you may not be everything that you think you are. You need to work on the heart. We've talked about the bad, right? The good part is in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is, you can say it with me, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control. Against such things there is no law. We practice this stuff. Not only is it going to benefit the people that we talk to, it's going to benefit ourselves, right? Our spirit is hearing us talk. And we got the love, we got the joy, we got the peace. Man, we got it going on with the fruits of the Spirit. And just like that said that the acts of the flesh are obvious, fruit is obvious as well. When you got that going in you, think about fruit. When it's talked about the acts of the flesh are obvious, okay, that's just, I can see it. But when you think about fruit, what do you think about? Okay, you think about fruit itself, but I think about sweetness. Fruit, for the most part, is usually sweet. It's good. It refreshes you. You enjoy it. Yeah, you nourish it. You enjoy it, don't you? So not only do you enjoy the fruits of this Spirit, but those around you will enjoy that fruit as well. Matthew 7 and 20 says, thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. In Matthew 12 and 33 it says, make a tree good and its fruit is what? Good. Make a tree bad and its fruit is bad. For the tree is recognized by its fruit. You've heard, you know, don't judge lest you be judged, you know. There are certain things we can judge. But when it talks about by the tree you will know them. If I'm talking bad all the time, I'm always down in the dumps, I'm mully-grubbed, my fruit is out there. You can see it. But if I'm speaking joy, I'm speaking love, speaking happiness and good things, then you can recognize Brian as a good fellow, right? You can see things in people's lives and make a judgment based on what you see and how they act. I don't think that's judging. I think that's just looking and being obvious of what you see. How about this? If I paraphrase it for Brian again, I don't know if I got it up there. Make a heart good and people see and hear good things from you. Make a heart bad and people will see and hear bad things. Remember what Luke said. Luke said in Luke's gospel, he said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. So what are we storing in our heart? If we're storing good, good's coming out. If we're storing bad, bad's coming out. Again, we have to be careful and guard our hearts, because what we're putting in this storehouse, it will eventually come out of this storehouse. It's kind of like a computer. A computer can only do so much, but when you start inputting data, that's the only data it can spit back out at you. You start putting the right stuff in, you're going to get the right stuff out. Amen? So, let's get to Beaumont, Texas. What we did do, I don't need notes for this. What we did do, instead of bringing people back home, we were tasked with two-man crews of going out. They'd give us a long list of addresses, say, go to these addresses. Some of them were nursing homes. Some of them were apartment complexes. Some of them were just single-family dwellings. We want you to go find out if they have water and electricity. If no one's home, look at the meter. If there's a water spigot outside, turn it on. If someone neighbors there, talk to them. Because what they wanted to do was they wanted to ensure that the home, the residence, was able to be inhabited again. Well, they call it repatriation. So we went out. If it had electricity, we put a little check. We texted the guy and said, it's good to go. If it didn't, no go. No good for you. So that way they wouldn't even bring them from San Antonio or wherever that. They wouldn't even bring them home because there's no place for them to come home to. We went from places I've never heard of before and still don't know where they're at. They were like an hour and a half drive from Beaumont, northeast. The closer you got to Louisiana, the more destruction you saw. Just trees and stuff like that in the homes. We went to this one place that you couldn't even get an ambulance into it because the trees were over the road, and we just, you know, like looking out the window, make sure our car can go under it because we still had a couple of miles to go, and I wasn't going to walk. So we get there. This is funny, too. My partner, John, he's a SWAT guy, and he's always worried about we're government people. They don't like the government people down here in South Texas. We can't act like we're government people. Okay. So we pull up to this vacant lot or this open lot, and there's a couple of trailers. So what does he do? He turns on the blinky lights. I'm like, okay, John, you're telling me these people are scared of the government, and here we come driving up with our blinky lights on. That's just saying, we're government, and we're here to get your guns. I'm like, turn that stuff off, man. So we turned it off, and John sits in the car. I said, just sit here. I'll get out. So I go over and talk to these people, and nicest people I've ever talked to. Never felt threatened by them. We went to this one trailer and said, hey, do you know this person? Nope. Well, do you know if the power's on over there? I don't know. So you could have literally walked to the next trailer, but we drove over there. Do you know this person? Yeah, she's my mom. Oh, good. You have electricity? No, we don't have electricity. We ain't had electricity in several days now. I'm having to go through gas cans. And he said, my brother should have told you all that the other over there. Your brother? Anyway, this cat, they lived way out in the middle of nowhere. They had no power. They had some water. They were running back and forth to get gasoline for their generators. But they were good people. They never treated us disrespectfully. Never felt threatened by these people. You know, they're making the best of a good situation. Then we go into town in Orange, Texas. If you've ever been to Orange, Texas, it's not the vacation spot you want to go to. Yes, that's a good reason why you're not there no more. Orange, Texas, again, way, way lower economical. Just poor people living in a poor town. And everywhere we went, these people were good to us. They were nice to us. We didn't turn the blinkies on either. But we'd get out, I'd get out, and I'd go talk to them. And they were real friendly. I thought, you know, these people are in probably the worst situation you can be in. They have no lights. More than that, they don't have no AC. And we're in South Texas, and it's hot, humid. No AC. No really means of cooking your food, you know, because you can't see. And then plus, you don't have electricity for your refrigerator and stuff. So you go in, you know how you guys like electricity? No, we're not got electricity. But they're hanging out, just being friendly, nice, you know. I said, do you need anything? No, we're good. We don't need anything. Just good people. I have to tell you about this one fellow that we run into. We come up to this home, and it's an old wood frame house. And this guy he's a big guy, long black hair that hadn't been washed probably in a while. He's got his arm stuck out the window like you're driving down the road in a car. And no shirt. So I get out and I go over and talk to him. His name was Larry, or that's the name we gave him, Larry. So you got power? He says, no, I ain't got no power, man. I'm just sitting here trying to stay cool, you know. That's the only way I can. And again, nice guy, friendly, good guy. And I said, hey, do you have a telephone number in case we don't have to drive back over here? You can give us your telephone number and we can just call. Yeah, I got a phone. Well, what's your number? Oh, I don't know. I don't call myself. I said, okay, that's a valid point. I don't call myself either. He said, hey, but my son has a telephone. I said, hey, great, what's his number? Oh, I don't know. I said, well, do you know how to operate your phone? No, when it rings, I just push the button. So I said, okay, Larry. Appreciate you, though. Friendly. Never had a problem in the world with most of these people. Last day we're there, we get called out that a patient's coming in from San Antonio. I'm just going to say this. This lady was large, very large. It took 8 of us. So San Antonio Fire Department pulls up. They open the door, and the first thing you hear is, it's hot, close the door, it's hot, close the door. So they close the door. I thought, okay, this is going to be fun. So they winch her out of the ambulance, and we get around her. And bless her heart, she wasn't doing very well. We all had our gowns on, right, because she had open wounds and sores and stuff. So we pick her up. She was mad because somebody rubbed her leg. So, okay, well, we can't help it, you know. So we get her in. We take the front door off. We had to take the front door off the hinges. Who took my door off the hinges? Why'd y'all do that? Them boys didn't have to do that getting me out of here. Well, ma'am, we just want to make sure we can get you in here comfortable. Well, y'all gonna have to put it back together. Yes, ma'am, we will. So we wheel her in. You got to go in feet first. You got to go in feet first. Okay, ma'am, we'll go in feet first. Well, how do I explain this? The hallway was this wide. She was this wide. So we get to the first door. And so we're trying to protect her, you know, because we don't want to hurt the woman. She's just mad. You're hurting me. You're hurting me. Stop it. I was like, ma'am, we ain't nothing else we can do, you know. You got to come in. So we finally get her to the first one. We get her to the second one, and I accidentally hit her foot. And you just thought I'd cut her leg off. And so she's just hollering at me. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I said, what's your name? So I don't have to just keep calling you sweetie or whatever. What's your name? I ain't telling you my name. Okay. So we get her in the room. She wants her bed. Now that she's in the bed, she wants her bed moved. So now the 8 of us shimmy the bed over. I want my refrigerator back in here. Get that refrigerator back in there. Y'all got to put it just right. So we get a refrigerator. Make the long story short, she asked for a whole lot of stuff, and we accommodated her as best we could. And I was very proud of us because nobody got frustrated with her. We were all as professional as we could be. But in the back of every one of our minds, we're like, this lady is crazy, and I don't want to be here. And I don't care if she hurts, you know, because it's mean as she is to us. So we get her settled down. We go out in the front yard, and we're talking about this, and it's like, man, I'm so glad that we don't live in Beaumont, Texas at the fire department, because we would have to deal with this on an everyday basis. But I'm saying all that to say this. Here's a woman that was totally dependent on other people. She can't walk. She can't get out of bed. So someone has to bring her food. Somebody has to clean her up. Somebody has to do all this for her. Totally dependent on other people. But the way she treated us, I can only imagine, is the way she treats her caretakers. So we all know these kind of people that we do not want to be that person, for one. And we don't want to be around people like that. So we're in the car. We're coming back to Fort Worth. And I was thinking about her. And I thought, Lord, why is this woman so angry? I mean, you would think that depending on other people, you'd want to be sweet to other people. And I was thinking, Lord, what is it that's making this woman so angry? Okay, she's got health issues. But we all know people that's got health issues, right? Most everyone in here has probably got a health issue of some sort, you know. So, okay, well, she's got a health issue. So what? She's dependent on others. But why is it, Lord? Why is it this woman is the way she is? And I thought about that scripture, what's in your heart is going to come out of your heart. And I thought, there's things in this lady's heart, either bitterness, anger, strife. Somebody's hurt this woman at some point. She's holding on to a lot of hurt. And that hurt, that anger, and all that's just spilling out. Because I've known people that were in a situation like her that were as sweet as pie, and we'd have done everything in the world we could to help these people just because of their disposition. And I told myself, Lord, help me not ever get in a spot where whatever is in me is going to be ugly. Because if you fall and hurt yourself, what's in there is going to come out. I remember as a kid, preacher's wife, we were in revival, my dad was, and this lady slammed the door on her fingers. I mean, she got them good, too. First thing out of her mouth was, praise the Lord. I thought, that's probably not the first thing to come out of my mouth, praise the Lord. So we get her in, you know, she opened the door, and she says, thank you, Lord, for not breaking my fingers. My fingers are not broke. And I remember that today. You know, I was just a little guy then. But I remember her reaction to that. I thought, man, that's really good. So it tells me today there's something in her heart that's good that's coming out of her in those desperate situations. So I have to ask you today, in conclusion, I think I have a conclusion, don't I, Matt? I'm going to ask you four questions. How are you recognized? Is it there? It may not be. That's fine. You don't have to be there. How are you recognized? If people said Rita McIntyre, what would people start throwing out words as? You know, Jason Sullins. What would people start throwing out? I know one real quick that we could all name, and it starts with a H, ends with Hugger. Steve. What would people say about Steve? What would people say about you? How would you be recognized? Would you be recognized as one of those people that, hey, good morning, or go over and shake their hand? How would people see Jesus in you by the things and the things that you say and do? How would people see Jesus in you? I know that when you get around people that aren't very nice and they call themselves Christians, I can imagine as a non-Christian, I don't want what you have, because whatever you have is not good and I don't want any of it. So we have to reflect Jesus. We have to think about that all the time, everything we do, that people are watching us. What are you allowing in your heart? Like I said earlier, things come into us, pain, anger, all these things can come in because they're just a natural part of life. But what we choose to stay in there and dwell on is what will identify us and identify our fruit, right? And the final question is, do you have heart issues? Do you have issues that you need to work on today? And I know most of you folk, you're good folk, but I bet if we drill down to the very depth of us, all of us, and we become real honest with ourselves, we may say to ourselves, Lord, yes, maybe there is an issue that I have. Maybe I'm quick to not give you credit. And we've heard Steve say it over and over. What people see on the outside is what's on the inside. So smile, you know. How you doing today? You could be hurting. You could be broke out your tail. and have nothing. God is good. God is good. And if you don't have anything and you're hurting all the time, God saved me. Thank the Lord for that. Jesus is my Redeemer. And I believe that no matter what you say in that thing, it's going to make your situation seem like that. All of a sudden, the pain, the stuff that you're having to deal with will just kind of dissipate because we're giving glory to God. And then people want to be around you. People want the same Jesus that you have. So let's just examine ourselves. Let's just close ourselves in real quick. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercies, Father. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you work on our heart. You work on the things that are inside of us, Father. The things that we have no control over, Father, you're still there. But, Father, the things that we do have control over, Father, the guarding of our heart, I pray that you would quicken our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to us continually. Lord, that we would be on guard for the things that we allow in our hearts. Father, I pray that if there's anything in our hearts, in my life, Father, that's displeasing to you, I pray you would forgive me. I pray that your Holy Spirit would show me what I need to do, what I may need to work on, Father, that I can be a better person, I can reflect you more, and reflect the fruits of your Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Steve.